What to do, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of In the Database with Nana. Playoffs have been all over the place. A lot of series have ended early, some have shifted in unpredictable ways, and one series is turning out to be the greatest first-round series in NBA history. I want to start with the Bucks and Heat series. What a series that has been. What a turnaround. What an unpredictable series. First seed versus A seed, and Miami's up 3-2 in that series. This is the same team that barely fought to get into the play-in. They looked like a team that didn't even belong in the playoffs. They also lost Tyler Hero, a huge part of their team. And here they are up in a series behind Jimmy Butler's incredible performance. Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy Butler, is a real thing. And to think that the Philadelphia 76ers chose Tobias Harris over him is going to come back to being one of the dumbest thing a GM has done, and something Philly will probably regret for the rest of their lives, because I don't see them winning with Embiid or Harden, the other choker. Bucks Heat series. To me, like, the Bucks were missing their best player the first three games, even though they got him back in a time where they should have won a game and not be down 3-2, and they should have found answers for Jimmy Butler and they couldn't. It's tough. You got to be able to be the better. You're the first seed. You're facing the AC team who's missing one of their starters. They're also missing Victor Oladipo. They're down a lot of guys. Granted, the Bucks have not been the same team since injuries. Giannis is just coming back from injury. Jrue Holiday is so inconsistent offensively. You can't have that from your second best player. You got to figure something out. Is it panic time for the Bucks? I'm not panicking yet. Got to see if they can respond well in game six, but that's going to be in Miami's house. Got to see if they can get something going. And if not, the summer, like among a lot of playoff teams, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked. Is it coaching? Is that one title good enough? Are we looking at this like another Vogel situation? I mean, does Bud need to be in the hot seat? Is the roster around Giannis really good? Or has Giannis covered up a lot? It's a lot of questions we do have to ask. And is Chris Middleton little injuries? Because he keeps getting little minor injuries, but they're going to turn into very annoying as he gets older and they might become more severe. What can they do with his health and how they can keep him healthy throughout a series or throughout the season? Because he has not been healthy these last 3 years. Moving on to the Celtics-Hawks series. Boy, what a turnaround. Boston was supposed to fly through the series. This is another team. This is a seventh seed. You're struggling with a seventh seed. The playoffs have been literally all over the place. You play with your food a lot. For those that don't mean what I mean is you can't play around with a team. You're up by 14 with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter in your home court. You are the better team. What a terrible, terrible coaching performance by the Celtics coach. You don't let Trae Young go into drop coverage the entire fourth quarter and let him get this win and have a game winner. Just like Golden State did, if we're going to lose, we're not going to lose by a shot by De'Aaron Fox. We're okay with living somebody else shooting the ball. And that should have been the game plan from the entire fourth quarter. We're okay with somebody else beating us. Instead, you allowed Trae Young to keep going and dropping. He's a shooter. You come on. Like, you're not a rookie team. You know better than this. And you were up. You had a lead, and you just screwed around for a good 6 minutes. And Jason Tatum, you know what they say? They're saying right now you're getting pretty privileged, because they're saying if you didn't look good, you would be slandered like nothing else. Because, come on, 1-for-10 from the three-point line, you're facing the Atlanta Hawks. I don't even know why you're shooting that much jumpers. You got to be better. You cannot have playoff stinkers like this consistently. Like, it's getting really hard to defend you, and I'm a fan of yours. And every year we go, oh, Jason Tatum is knocking on that superstar door. He's not in the club yet, but he's knocking on the door. But now you're about to get in line, the back of the line of that door, because you keep showing time and time again, like, be better. And what's crazy about this series, the longer you extend it, the longer rest you give the Philadelphia 76ers, who, by the way, has Embiid coming off of an injury. And now you're going to get him getting healthier and rested. And they're going to get you again, because they played only four games. They haven't played it in a week, and they're going to get a longer rest. You can't do that, because they went in, took care of the business. They knew Brooklyn was a weaker team. They took care of it. They didn't mess around. They won those series. Here you are just playing around with your food, letting the series go further than it should. And now you're giving a young team confidence. And that's all they need. They have nothing to lose. The Hawks don't have anything to prove. There's no pressure on them. And there's nothing more dangerous than a team with no pressure. So you're not even guaranteed to win the series the way you're acting. You guys got to figure out if this coach is right for you, if you're going to coach better, because you're getting run laps around. This is a team that changed their coach in mid-year, who's had a horrendous year. Should not be taking you this long to beat them. And the Celtics, you know, are they really in trouble? Time will only tell. But right now, I think, forget this series. They're making their life harder for the next series. We're only in first round, and you're going to game six in the first round. It's never okay to do that. Moving on to the Lakers-Memphis series. Oh, this one is pretty interesting. I thought Memphis would have some shame, just a little bit. For all that talk you're doing, oh, we're fine in the West, and you're going to get bounced in the first round. I think that clip will probably be the epitome of Josh's career until he does something better. Like this, that's what we're going to focus on. We're fine in the West. You're literally getting beat by a 7-seed team, a playing team. You can't even get to 6-seed. And I know Jaw's playing hurt, but he's doing his job. I mean, he's scoring 45. He's getting the bucks. The rest of you, Dylan Brooks, I mean, you can – Dylan Brooks, come on. You're moving like a coward. You can't talk all this crap, poke the bear, talk all this shit, and then turn around and not want to talk to the media, run away from the smoke. No, you lit this match. They're smoking your pack, and the Lakers are dancing on your grave and stomping on your home court. Have some shame, have some fight in you. And as a Warrior fan who needs this series to be a little bit extended, because granted, we're going to be in a long series, we need you to put up a little bit of a fight. You shouldn't have lost the game before, and you shouldn't have lost on your home court, and you shouldn't have been embarrassing to come out in game three. What kind of effort was that? The game was over before the 3-minute mark of the first quarter. And yes, I get the referees are very pro Lakers, and I've spoke on this so many times. And since the All-Star break, since the trade happened, the NBA has made a conscious effort to continue giving Lakers these physical calls and allowing them to be physical on the other end and not get called for. They have the free throw differentiate of, like, I think, historical mark right now. And what's crazy, people are like, oh my God, because you drive in the paint, you get more calls. No, you're not even top 15 in the paint scoring. So these are a lot of griftings, a lot of twerking for calls. I mean, the hillbilly Austin Rivers is getting away with a lot. I mean, there's no reason Austin Rivers should be getting a better whistle than LeBron James himself or all these superstars. He's getting superstar calls, and y'all calling him Kobe, and now you have Laker fans running around going crazy. And all of this needs to stop. And this pro-Laker biasness is insane. What's even more insane is that down the stretch, there's calls are going a certain specific way. Shooter and Revis should not be getting these calls with the game on the line. It's just, even if they are, you just don't get these calls in the playoff. The whistle is not supposed to be this easy. That's why I call it playoff and physical. Instead, that whole series has been a snooze fest. And the refs have taken too much control. But you, as Memphis, so-called better team, so-called second seed, you should know that you shouldn't allow the game to come to the referees, because you are the second seed. You shouldn't give that leeway. You should be able to comfortably win these games. But if you're not, and we're always talking about the refs, are you really the better team? And no, you're not. And I get you're missing Steven Adams and Clark, and those are huge. But Anthony Davis has not even dominated the series, which is what I thought would affect those guys being gone. Instead, you guys are just folding under pressure. It's nothing special that the Lakers are really doing. It's just more that you guys suck. The Memphis Grizzlies stink. And that's the bottom line. Moving on to the Clippers-Suns series. Oh, this one is very interesting because I have a lot to say. The team that won this series, the Suns, who won 4-1, do not look good. I've never seen a team win a series 4-1 and you come out of that series disappointed. Because that's how I look at it. The Clippers were the better team. They were. They were hurt. They were down their two stars. And they still gave you buckets. It still take Devin Booker scoring 40 several times in this series for you to barely win. That's not something to look for. You guys don't have depth. And this depth is going to get you. I think Denver will get you. I think if the Warriors face you, they will get you. I think the Lakers face you. I think the teams that will come see you, I don't see the Suns leaving the West. It's almost impossible because it's not sustainable. If you're exerting this much energy in the first round against a team who's missing not only their best player, but their second best player, you're not good. And Kevin Durant, like, it feels like as a superstar, as the quote-unquote best player on the court, quote-unquote top three player, top five, wherever you had him, I don't argue with your mom. I have not noticed him. I have not noticed him in the series. He's not even the first option on the team. Like, it's like he's just there. He's there to be Devin's buddy. Like, it's just Kevin is just a second fiddle. He's coasting all game. And he's not really having this effect. And granted, I guess the defense is focused on him, but come on, Kevin. I mean, you're getting your buckets, but like, I'm not really too worried about you. I think physicality really does get to you in the playoffs, which is why Trae Young can win two games and get Celtics, and you couldn't even get one. That's the difference. Like, you are bothered physically by everything. And throughout the game, like, I think a lot of your shots come easy in transition, some here dunks, but you're really not in this series. And a lot of that is when people get physical with Kevin or they send doubles, he just get frustrated pretty easily. And I think you have a tell. You have, like, well, poker like this. Poker players like to say, you got to tell, and that's a bad thing to have a tell, which is why I don't think the Suns worry anybody. If there's Suns Lakers, I'm taking the Lakers, even though I hate the Lakers. If it's Suns versus the Kings, I'm taking the Kings. If it's Suns versus the Warriors, I'm taking Warriors. Because if Suns versus Denver, I'm taking, granted, everybody's healthy, I'm taking Denver. There's nobody else left in the West that I feel like the Suns can confidently beat, nor in the East. And that's sad saying, considering you're a super team. Get it together. Nuggets Timberwolves series. This one is pretty interesting because tough decisions have to be made in the summer. Same with the Clippers. The tough decisions do have to make in the summer. Before I move on to the Nuggets Timberwolves series, let me backtrack to the Clippers Suns real quick. Take the Suns out of here, Clippers. This summer is going to be very interesting because every year we do the same conversation. If the Clippers are healthy, if the Clippers are healthy, at this point, they're not going to be healthy. You load manage them all year, 3 years in a row, and you're still not getting a healthy Clippers. You're not getting healthy Kawhi. You're not healthy PG. Kawhi and PG both need a dependable co-star. And they can't depend on each other no longer. Somebody has to be moved. Something has to be adjusted. I don't know what it is. Tough decisions do have to make. To be made for the Clippers. And the crazy thing is, I do think roster wise on paper, they are the best team in the league. Healthy Clippers cannot be stopped. And the problem is they just cannot stay healthy. And that's a decision for the general manager, for the team to make. Like, is it time to move on? Because you can't keep doing this dance over and over again. And then the Timberwolves, same thing. You fumbled that Gobert trade, worst trade in NBA history. We'll go down as the worst trade in NBA history, giving up five picks for, and then giving up your rookie too, who turned out to be even better than Rudy Gobert, well, as a rookie. And come on, $200 million. That's how much you're paying Gobert. And I think Warriors are paying Kevon Looney like $40 million. And if I were to choose which one I want to have, we all know Kevon Looney's the better player. Like, what does Rudy do good? Like, every time I see him offensively demand the ball, I look at him, I'm like, what are you going to do with it? What do you plan on doing with it? And him and Kat just, no. The Timberwolves have to understand that Anthony Edwards is the truth. He is the future. Let him grow. Let him excel. This is his team. It's time to move on. Nobody's taking Gobert off of your hands unless Kat is added to it. Nobody's doing that. So figure out a way to move these guys and just rebuild through the draft. But this time you actually have a star in Anthony Edwards, which I believe will be a star. Move along with him. And a lot of people dislike Gobert, and that's another conversation for another day. But it's not hard to dislike him. He makes it very easy not to like him. And it's just the way he operates, the way he moves. I'm like, I look at him in the court, I'm like, bro, you are a dummy. Like, what do you even do? And your own teammates fought. Like, there's so much things you brought to the team. Draymond can get away with doing all this internal stuff because he's a champion. What are you? Besides the COVID star of the NBA, the guy who almost shut down the NBA. What are you really known for? So, moving on. Like, I think if you have to move Gobert, it's very clear. There's no way you can keep that goal. The Timberwolves general manager, it's got to be a 2-for-1 deal. You got to fire him because he botched that pretty hard. There's no way you can trade Gobert and say we're keeping that general manager because it's probably the biggest botched job ever. Nobody thought at the time of the trade it was a good idea, because sometimes when trades happen, I don't like to be a prisoner of the moment, because it's not like we sat there and said this trade was good from any perspective, you know, at all. Everybody hated it before. Everybody hated it during, and everybody hates it after. And that's consistent. And that, if that's a situation that the majority is consensus with, there's a consensus of majority of people thinking that way, it means you messed up as a general manager. it means you did not do your job correctly, especially when Kevin Durant was available for you to make a move for. If you're going to give up 5 picks and probably throwing Cat, you could have gone Kevin Durant. But instead, you got Rudy Gobert. And that's what you do. And that's what you got to deal with. So Timberwolves, I mean, it's hard being a mid-team every single year because you're not bad enough to get a good draft pick and you're not good enough to ever compete. You're just the middle. And nothing is worse than being the middle child. You're just stuck every year and you're not exciting, you're not entertaining, you're not moving anybody. With a young stud like Anthony Edwards, he deserves better. And with Karl-Anthony Towns, let's see if he can excel somewhere else. He needs somebody. He can't be the number one option on a team. He needs a star above him because he has no leadership skills to carry himself. And sometimes that's unfortunate. Cat has the skill and the assets to be a best player on a team, to be dominant, to be a top 10 player. He just doesn't have the leadership and the mental strength to do it. And you can't build that. That doesn't happen overnight. So if he can get somebody to do that, if he can get a coach, if he can get somebody to answer for him, then I see Cat succeeding and being a much better player. But for now, this is not the answer. As for the Nuggets, they were pretty dominant in the first two games, but the last three games, even though they won two out of those three games, it made me worry about them a little bit. Because today's game, I think at one point, they won the free throw battle by like 20, 30. And it was a very close game. Minnesota could have stole this game. They also, their defense just worries me. I think the Suns-Nuggets series is going to come down to which team can play the better defense and which team can step up even more offensively, because I think they're really two good offensive team. Shout out to Jamal Murray. I want to point out what an incredible series he's had. What a playoff series to come back from an ACL to have the season you did in 1 year. That's a lot. And shout out to Jokic because he is that dude. And with such efficiency, and I know his game is like not flashy, well, except for his passes, but like the way he gets his buckets, it's like he's not the type of player you like go and watch highlights about and stuff, but he gets the job done. He everything revolves around him. He just does so much for that team and so much offensively that you just got to clap your hands for him. And I can't even hate if I wanted to hate. So kudos to him and what he has done. And I love my Warriors. I do want the Warriors to win the championship, but if I had an option for somebody to go get a championship, it would be him. It would be him. And that just shows you the level of respect somebody has to have for his game, because he's a hard worker. And there's nothing more you could say about that. Speaking of my Warriors, we are in for probably the greatest first-round series in NBA history. What a dogfight between these two teams. And I'm glad that Fox is playing, even though he's got a broken index finger. Because once adrenaline starts rushing, I know that the pain kind of goes, will kind of like fade away, and Fox will go. Because he played with a broken finger in last game and still gave us 38. Because he's that dude. But this series is just nerve-wracking. I wish my team wasn't in it, because as a neutral observer, this would have been so fun. But I'm on edge every time I'm watching these two battle it out. It's going back and forth. Now the series is really 0-0, if you think about it. It's the best out of three now. Win game five. I think if Golden State wins game five, they're closing down in games. If they steal game five, it's over in six. If the Kings win game five, I think this is going to seven. I don't see Golden State losing in Chase Center. They're like 12-1 at Chase Center, which is insane. And the one game they did lose was like Boston's fakest shooting game of all time. Let's just put it there. Like, you're not getting Al Horford and Derek White to do that ever again in a playoff game. But they're something about that crowd and Chase Center, and something gets these guys going and motivated. So they're not losing another home game. Golden State make it clear. So the Kings right now, I think this is more of a must win for them than it is Golden State. They have to win game five, because if they don't, Golden State is not getting back on a flight or a bus, because I think it's like a 40-minute, an hour drive. They're not, no, it's over. So you have to come in there and treat this like a game seven if you're the Sacramento Kings. And this series, like, it has given us a lot of incredible highlights. It also has given us incredible blunders. That Steph Curry semi-timeout, oh my God, I cannot believe he pulled the Chris Webber. Although there's a lot of people I do want to actually point the finger at right now. And a lot of you are going to be like, oh, you're saying this because you're Steph Curry stan, blah, blah, blah. You know what? To a degree, yes. But I'm going to give you a reasoning here. If you're an NBA head coach, especially a Hall of Fame NBA head coach, a four-time champion NBA head coach, you know when you don't have a timeout left and you go into that huddle and it's a possession that's that important, you make it clear to your guys, we don't have a timeout left. Okay? The fact that none of them knew that there's a timeout, I think Andre was signaling for a timeout and he's on the bench. For them to think there's a timeout left, it's a bad sign as a coach. You got to do better as a head coach. You have to make it clear. And they could be veterans or rookie. Blunders happen. And it did happen. So another thing I want to point out is who's in their right mind thought it was a good idea to use up your last timeout on a challenge? Especially when it wasn't even a good challenge. There was nowhere in hell you were winning that challenge. So those assistant head coaches that are sitting on the bench, huge blunder. I'm pointing the fingers. You do not ever put your team in a position to have zero timeouts left in a close game with 2 minutes left. That's, even if it was a 50-50 call, I still would not challenge it because it's a one possession game. You don't do that. That's basic. You're acting like the rookie team. I expect this from like a team that's never been in the playoff, like the Kings. The Warriors, I don't expect this from. Using up your last timeout with 2 minutes left in a close game. What if a game winner situation we needed and we needed a timeout to advance the ball? What was your plan then? Another thing I want to point out is Draymond Green, and I'm not trying to get on Draymond for one episode, but I have to. If you inbound the ball to Steph Curry, you're the guy who's inbounded the ball. If you weren't the guy inbounded the ball, I would not even have talked about you in this episode, but you are. You're the guy inbounded the ball. You know that Sacramento is desperate, and as soon as Steph inbounds the ball, they're gonna trap him. As the trailer, you gotta stop and wait for him so he can make that pass because there's no way where for Steph to go off of a trap, especially when you don't have a timeout, which is why his brain went, it was either gonna be a timeout or a turnover because he had nobody trailing him, and you were the trailer, you were the guy who was supposed to be in the back. And I know that you apologize for that on your show, and I think I got a clip of that hearing you saying that you should have stayed, but should I have to still address it because in my mind these are blunders that four-time champions and like veterans, this is the advantage you're supposed to have in the series. Y'all are the smarter team. Y'all been here, so act like you've been here. That's what it comes down to. You can't make blunders like this because if we would have lost that game, we were in a must-win game in Sacramento. You don't want to put yourself there. We were a Harrison Barnes mystery away from that happening. One shot for a series going 3-1. And I'm glad Harrison Barnes shot the shot, and I'm glad Draymond played excellent defense. Great help out. Steph and Draymond played. They made up for it at the end of that game because if Steph doesn't poke that ball, I think Fox gets into a better position to shoot that ball. And Dre, excellent weak side help. But here's what I don't get. Why did De'Aaron Fox go towards Draymond Green's side when he could easily have made the pass to the better shooter, to Malik Monk on the Andrew Wiggins side? And it was a lot emptier. So that's something they're going to have to look at the film and regret it because if there's one defender I'm not testing, it's Draymond Green. I'm not going to his side, especially with the game in line. And you're not going to get a better look than Harrison Barnes did. But I would be lying to say that I was so happy as soon as Harrison Barnes got that ball because I knew he was going to miss that shot. And that might be a part of my arrogance or just 2016 trauma. Regardless, glad that Harrison Barnes took that shot over De'Aaron Fox. And by the way, Celtics, take lessons. Take lessons right here because Trae Young should not have been that person taking that shot. You should have lived with anybody else but Trae Young taking that shot. And that was the bottom line. You didn't. And unfortunately, it cost you an extra game and an extra week of basketball. And that's on you. And this is why I say Warriors, if you're winning this series, you're winning mentally. That's how you win this year. Because this team physically might be stronger and faster than us right now, but they're not mentally stronger than us. And these are the kind of mistakes we want them to make. These are the kind of situations we want to put them in. And that's what's going to get us to get into the next series in the second round so we don't get tired and overwhelm ourselves. So these playoffs are just like, in general, have been incredible. But we've had some snooze fests for sure. But a lot of things have happened in terms of injuries throughout the entire playoff, which really sucks. I think the NBA has to definitely look into how to fix the situation. Shorten the season, maybe long enough, maybe making the month a little bit longer, the summer short. I don't know what you have to do to fix this, but I'm sick and tired of going into the playoffs and having stars injured and missing. It's just not fun at all. You know, outside of the Golden State Warriors series, the rest of the series have pretty much been a snooze fest. And even like, but I call it an incredible playoff because a lot of upset is happening. That's the part where it's incredible. Because it seems like anybody's year can win. Anybody can really take this. There's not like a team I look at and be like, oh, that's the two dominant team you got to go through. Because even the dominant teams look weak. They have extreme weakness. Bucks, Celtics, Memphis, Clippers, Suns, they all, Nuggets, they have extreme weaknesses where you can exploit just like that. That's the part that's incredible about this playoffs. However, the injuries have just been the worst part of this playoffs. And in saying that, pretty much every series has had a significant or a big injury, but it seems like everybody just seems to be focused on Golden State and injury luck. And that's the discourse that really gets me. Oh my God, we got Nick Wright, creepy Nick, out here making conversation about Golden State and how they're lucky each year somebody significant is gonna miss me with that. Miss me with that. Because despite all this luck, all this stuff, you still predicted them to lose in these series. Then you cannot be a revisionist history, go back and change your mind to fit your new narrative because it makes your boy LeBron look cute and look cool. No, you can't do that because we can do the same thing with everybody in every championship. We could do that. We can erase that bubble asterisk championship if we want. We can erase, not only was it a bubble ring, but who was healthy in that Miami team? Their number one score and their number two score was both hurt. You act like that was no luck. They faced a Denver Nugget team who was hurt to get to the finals. They faced a Blazer team who was hurt in the first round. I mean, we could do the same thing with injuries over and over in the game, but we have these conversations where, like, it's only affecting Golden State. I mean, we can go date back to Bron's early career. You know, Jameer Nelson in 2009, Horford in 2009. I mean, Joe Johnson in 2009. I remember those, but even, like, Arenas and Butler in 2007. Bam and Dragic in 2022. I mean, even though the Minnesota Timberwolves getting hurt right before the play-in, like, losing Naz Reid and McDaniels, they would have been in a better position to be in that seventh seed had they not lost Naz Reid and McDaniels. These are all luck. I mean, in the series alone, Ja missed the game. Ja missed the game in the series. He's playing hurt. And Adams and Clark are out for the entire series. Those are huge people. I mean, you got Rondo in 2011. I mean, I can think even 2016, Steph was not healthy. MCL injury. And then you got the Kyrie and Hayward in 2018 gone that got you the final. Rookie Jason Tatum took you to seven games. And you got other people vouching. My point is, I'm not discrediting Bron and his greatness and what he's done in these playoffs, but I'm saying I can pinpoint and pick at it like y'all do with the Golden State Warriors, acting like it's tailored to Golden State. At the same time, look at Golden State injury unluckiness. We would have been champions. Draymond wasn't kicking somebody in the balls, injuring people throughout the years, or Steph wasn't hurt in 2016. We would have had an extra championship in 2019 if KD, or forget KD, if Klay stays healthy. One of the two. Not, we don't even need both, just one. But we don't go around talking about Kawhi is not lucky. But y'all gonna say, oh, Zaza Pachicha, when he went under Kawhi's legs, oh, that would have caused the championship. Because it was only one, but it was one game. There was no way the Spurs team, nobody picked that Spurs team to beat the Warriors. Even hypothetically, if Spurs win that game, they were not winning the series. When has the series been decided by the first game of the series? Be for real right now. And at the same time, you don't give the same energy to Kawhi Leonard in 2019. 2019, he's great, but in 2017, oh, he missed the game, and the Warriors are not great, but blah, 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 but we don't care the other way around. Which is my point. I think y'all are just obsessed with Golden State, and they've caused so much trauma to y'all that It's just important. Y'all just want to pick at them and make them the bad guys and make everything and discredit them. One minute you're calling them a super team. One minute you're calling them all, they have all this help. The next minute you're saying, oh my God, they're getting injury luck and all that stuff. No, they're a dynasty. They're a greatness. Injuries come a lot, especially when you're facing a dynasty because you're exerting more energy towards them, guarding them. That's part of the game. That's who they are. They have mental toughness. They've been the best team the last decade. Steph Curry has been the best player in the NBA in the last decade. And that hurts a lot of you. And it's time we admit that and just say, hey, I'm a hater. It's fine. I admit a lot too. I tell you guys all the time, I'm a hater. I hate the Lakers just for the sake of hating the Lakers. It has nothing to do with facts, and I just hate them, okay? It's okay to admit that. The rest of y'all just hiding behind this trauma that Steph Curry has inflicted on you, and you know what? I'll apologize for him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that Steph Curry has hurt you so badly that you have to make up all these narratives and make fun of him in all different ways. But guess what? He's young. He's fresh. He's 35 young. He's going to keep killing this league, and you're going to have to deal with this trauma a lot longer than you expect. And that is a wrap within the database. I'll end with that point with Nana. Thank you so much for joining this episode 10. We're 10 in, yeah, 10 toes down. Go Warriors.